All right, let's begin with prayer. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. We pray that you would help us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, that by patient perseverance in the truth, we may come to everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, today is what we often have talked about as being Word of God Sunday. And so I knew it was going to be a longer service with the baptism, with the installation of Sunday school teachers. Wanted to take a few minutes to hear from God's Word what He says about His Word, and to think about how we use and receive God's Word in our own home. So I want to start out with 1 Timothy chapter 3. You turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And before we dive into that, I want to ask a question. I know many of you here, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, many of you have or have had in the past a habit of regular Bible study and personal or family devotions. I know that's something that gets talked about or is encouraged in the congregation. But I want to ask the question, what do you find most challenging about staying in God's Word? What do you find most challenging about regularly reading, hearing, listening to God's Word? What are the challenges we face?
Honestly,
yeah.
Laziness.
Okay. So our own laziness. Okay, Carl?
Yeah, similar. I mean, getting distracted by other things. Like, I try to read first thing in the morning. And, if something pulls me away, it's like, how do you get back there?
Right.
So,
right.
For instance, yesterday I was flying, so I had to wait till the end of the day.
So. Yeah. Yeah, distraction, laziness. You're not confessing something that no one else here can confess, Donna, so don't worry about that. And these are not only struggles for us in our devotional life. There are struggles in other ways, too. Right? Distraction? How many of you have a smartphone in your pocket? And if you try and do your devotions on the smartphone, which gives you access to lots of things, but also gives you access to lots of things, is easy to head down rabbit holes and trails. Bob?
I have a hard time reading the Old Testament and the New.
You have a hard time.
The Old Testament confuses me. Yeah. I can't read the two Testaments.
Okay.
Well.
It becomes confusing at times, right?
Very confusing.
Yeah, we're reading things in the Old Testament and don't see how they relate. Tom?
For me personally, the rabbit hole is the worst thing. I'll start off on just a couple of verses, and I'm way guilty of going online. And then it'll be a reference here. Well, I gotta go read that one.
Well, the problem.
I'll read to another reference, and I'm way too ADD.
Yeah, the problem I was thinking of wasn't so much like following a trail of the scriptures as much as you're reading the text on your phone and a notification pops up,
yeah,
and suddenly you're reading about Queen Elizabeth's death, which is a significant thing. We've all been there, right? So there are real challenges that we face in our devotional life with God. Now, I want to remind us, we are not saved by how well we do in our personal devotions. So it is not that God says, you must read my word and pray every day, or, he doesn't say that.
That's a good thing.
Thank God. So even there, I think sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to divorce our salvation by grace through faith from our daily life, where we know that we're saved by what Christ has done, but we sometimes feel a tremendous amount of guilt, thinking that we should do more or do better. And sometimes we should, but not for our salvation. Betty, you had a hand up.
I have a different distraction.
Okay.
I'll be reading scripture, right? And I'll be maybe a word or something, and I'm all over the place.
Well, that's Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. But not I mean, in the Bible.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And losing the point of what.
So there are two there are two ways, I think, as we're reading Scripture that we can think about it. One is, sometimes it's really helpful to just read the Scriptures and let it sort of wash over us. Or listen to them. Here's another nice thing about all these devices we have. They can bring a lot of terrible things into our life. They can bring God's Word into our life. Yeah. Our morning commute can go from our blood level pressure rising while we listen to news.
But there's a thing about that. I just had an accident one day. I was really listening.
Oh, yeah.
First, I was
right.
40, the person in front of me braked. It was close. It was
yeah.
Like, okay.
Right. When you're driving, driving's your main priority. But you know, just letting the Scriptures wash over us. You know, you may not pick up every single thing, but sort of reading multiple chapters, right? If you're reading in the New Testament epistles, read all of Ephesians or all of Colossians and just hear the whole thing. And there's also the way that Tom and Betty expressed of, you know, you pause on a verse and say, I'm really curious about that, and you go deeper and you go further and you spread out from there. Right? We could take something like the word shepherd from the Old Testament and Gospel readings today, and you could travel all over the Scriptures with those words, seeing all sorts of different things. Tom?
So I got a family devotions is completely different though.
Okay, right.
Focus.
Yep.
That's the biggest struggle. Once you get everybody together with all the schedules and everything else, but getting everybody to focus just on the devotions, just on the lesson
for
that time, I think is actually, it's so much easier to do it with Sunday school students or, you know, other people in the congregation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting my own family to focus in can be quite a challenge sometimes.
So here are the practical things. And I raise this because I know it's a struggle. I struggle too to keep, you know, our family devotions is a little bit more regular, is a lot more regular, partly because of the patterns that we've set. But personally, I like to start my day by coming in the sanctuary, praying and reading God's word. Do I do it every day? No. When Vicar Jackson was here, did I do it more? Yes. You know why? It's not because I had more time, but that's a good
setting.
Yeah. What?
Setting an example.
Well, there is the setting an example. True. Yeah. So let me put a different face on it. So he sees. No, but not just that.
Accountability.
We set a time and a place. So he knew, and I knew, we're going to meet together at 8:30, and we're going to pray matins together, and that made a tremendous difference. Occasionally it was 8:35, and he'd text me, the accountability, and say, where are you? Or I'd show up and say, where are you? So when we think about, again, this is not about our salvation, right? We're not saving ourselves by being in God's Word. And I think as Donna's example of driving points out, if we're in God's Word but neglecting other things in our lives, that's not necessarily good either. If Monica's diaper goes unchanged because I'm studying God's word and praying, then I'm actually forsaking a responsibility and duty that I have. So there's a balance there. When we think about God's word, I think of it in terms of a daily practice, not as an obligation, but as something that's necessary for us. So when I say necessary, what are necessary things in your life? Okay, breathing. We don't have to think too much about breathing, usually. So,
eating.
Yeah, eating, drinking, sleeping. How often do you do these things? Unless you do that daily fast, but you do it every day. And you do it without necessarily having to put forth a lot of energy and time, because we've probably got set times and ways that we eat and that we sleep. We have routines. Same thing I would encourage with God's word, having a routine to meet with God, to hear what he says, and to pray to him for yourself, for your family, for others around you. And I wanted to start with that as an encouragement for us as a congregation to be in the word this year. That should always be, last year we didn't need to be, but always we should be, of course. But this is my encouragement. A congregation that is in God's Word will be a strong congregation, And I venture to guess that only positive things can happen from studying and reading God's Word. Carl?
I would also suggest that you not just read pieces here and there. I mean, personally, I find it very beneficial to start in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation
right.
in order. And I've done that. I'm on my fourth time. And each time I'm reading it and going, oh, I didn't catch that before.
Right.
So the more you... But if you just stay in one part, never get back to the Old Testament, you don't really understand the buildup of the New Testament. And I know a lot of people don't want to read the Old Testament because it's extremely challenging in some parts.
It can be, yeah. I mean, there's that give and take. And I'd say, we're not bound to have to be in a certain place in the Scriptures. So there may be times we're reading something and saying, I know there's a lot in there, but maybe I'm not getting a ton out of it. Sometimes we should stick with it. This happened with Vicar Jackson for one of his sermons. He looked at the text and he said, I don't think I want to preach on that text. And we discussed it, and he said, oh, I'll preach on the text. And he stuck with it. He said, I'm so glad, because if I had stopped when I first just thought, I don't know what to do with that, he wouldn't have ended up at the depths and the riches that he came to with it. So, Donna?
I like what you said about letting it wash over you, because, I'll read something.
Yeah.
And my mind's wandered in the reading
right.
of it, and then I'll finish it and go, I didn't do it good enough. I didn't read it right.
Right, right. Isn't that, we place this guilt on ourselves, right? I didn't read it right. Yeah, I didn't focus enough. And we end up heaping more guilt on ourselves rather than receiving, and kind of like the air we breathe, right? That God breathes into us through his word. And we receive it and we breathe out, right? The other thing that I'd encourage is at times taking a verse or a passage and dwelling in it for extended times. So you can let it wash over you in big stretches. You can dive into a single verse and follow a word through the scriptures. You can also take something and follow it through for a week or 2 weeks, reading the same thing, and you'd be amazed by what you pick up, by what you see on day 7 that you didn't see on day 1. And this goes along with memorizing God's word. So I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 10, but we'll focus really on verses 14 through 16. This is St. Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor, near the end of Paul's ministry, so he knows death is going to be near. He's sort of handing things on to the next generation of pastors. Paul says, starting at verse 10, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work."
May be complete.
May be... Oh, yeah, translation maybe. Yeah. Does you... Yeah.
This is completed.
Yeah, complete, competent, right. Yeah. So, what is St. Paul encouraging Timothy to do?
Continue.
To continue in...
In the scriptures.
In Timothy's case, he's writing to Timothy and he points out in Timothy's life, how long have the scriptures been present for him? Since he was a child. They were placed into his hands by his father and mother. As I told the godparents standing with Ian and Kristen today, I said one of your responsibilities is to make sure the scriptures are placed into the hands of Ren, and that she is raised knowing the word from childhood. So St. Paul says, continue in what you have learned from childhood. You have been acquainted with the sacred writings. What writings is he referring to?
Old Testament.
To the Old Testament, primarily, right? To the Old Testament that you struggle with, right? You wonder. May also be referring in some way to some of the New Testament. There is a passage in which Christ says, the worker deserves his wages, is that right? There's a passage that Timothy quotes, Paul quotes in Timothy, that are the words of our Lord that are referred to as the scriptures, suggesting that not only the Old Testament, but there are New Testament writings that are coming to be seen as scripture at this point as well. What does St. Paul say about these writings, about the scriptures?
Breathed out by God.
Okay, they're breathed out by God, right? So, Tom, you mentioned that earlier, too, and when I mentioned that, right? That this is, they are God-breathed. What do we believe on the basis of those words? When we read the scriptures, we are reading what?
God's
own words.
Became the word.
And then the word became flesh. We're reading God's own word. You'll notice when we finish the readings, the liturgist or I will say, this is the word of the Lord. We don't say this contains the word of the Lord, like it's in there somewhere if you dig around, or this may be the word of the Lord, or this could be the word of the Lord for you. This is the word of the Lord, as if this is God himself speaking to us. How often have you or someone else said, I wish God would just speak to me? I wish he would just tell me something. We're getting so many confessions today. Right? I wish God would just tell me, right? And absolutely we do. And he doesn't always tell us the thing we're asking about or the thing we want to know, but he tells us what he wants us to know and knows that we need. So this is the word of the Lord. God is speaking, right? And how often we have God's word and yet we say, I wish God would tell me, as if we could find something better than what God has already said. He's given us what we need in his word. It's there. There are things in life that we have a lot of freedom with, so he doesn't script every moment of our lives. I often say when I'm teaching maybe the sixth commandment about marriage, you know, a husband should love his wife. God does not explain in the scriptures exactly how the husband should do this. Sometimes we husbands wish that God would just give us the directions in the user manual. You know, here's when to get the flowers and here's when to do this. But he doesn't. He leaves a lot of freedom. So sometimes we're looking for something when God says you're free. How can you love? You can love your wife in a lot of different ways. You can serve your neighbor in multiple ways. Right? There's not only one way to do it. So there's a lot of freedom as well. All right, so the scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. When we say through faith, we mean that faith is what receives the gifts that God gives. And faith is not our own doing. This is something God creates and draws out of us. So through faith, by believing what God says, saying amen to what we hear in his word, he is making us wise for salvation through his word. And then we have that verse 16, with the all scripture is breathed out by God. I want to make clear, we believe that all scripture, not just in the total, but in every single word, is breathed out by God, which gives Tom the freedom to take a single word, or Betty, and follow that word through in the scriptures, because every word matters. It's not like God said, well, here's the idea, kind of put it in your own words. God said, here is how I want my word communicated with these very words. Every word is inspired by God.
That has also a lot to do with the translation you get, the ESV versus the NIV versus the
NIV. It can, right? So in translations, there are two main schools of thought. One school of thought in translation is, we don't care about the words, we care about the ideas. So we're going to sort of put it in our own words, and we may leave behind the Greek or the Hebrew, the original languages. Something like The Message is like that. I don't know if any of you are familiar with The Message. Eugene Peterson, in many ways, was a wonderful pastor, and my understanding is he wrote this for his kids. It's not bad, but I would not use it as my primary Bible. Because he takes sections and kind of turns them into kind of this is what I think it means. Right?
A lesson.
Well, a little bit like a lesson, but more like summarizing, right? So in that sense, there's a lot in there that's absolutely true and fine, but you know, it's not quite the word for word. The other translation way is to translate word for word. I mean, there are always decisions that are made, but you know, both the English Standard Version and the New International Version are more word for word translations. They have slightly different ways they approach it. Sometimes, and I know you've done this, Tom, you use what?
Well, the dictionaries.
The dictionaries are the multiple translations.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To look and see, right? And if you do stumble over something or say, I'm not sure, look up another translation and see what that one says, right?
But beware the rabbit hole.
the rabbit hole can be good, right? The diaper goes unchanged for 2 hours because the rabbit hole was followed. Yeah. All right. So verses 16 and 17. 16, all scripture is breathed out by God, and notice the things that he says about it, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
What's the difference between reproof and correction?
That's a good question, and I didn't look up those words specifically, but the two things I want to pull out of this are that, you know, there are four different words that he's using in the Greek, so they all have slight different nuances.
Tom? It's rebuke and censure, reproof in this particular
rebuke, case. Yeah, rebuke and censure. The two things I wanted to pull out of that are God's word does two things. His word is given in order to... it's given ultimately to save us, but his word is the law. It shows us our sin, right? It corrects and it rebukes or reproves us, and it corrects us. It teaches us about what God would have us know about his salvation, and it trains us to live in righteousness. Right? These are the purposes of God's word, what he is doing with his word. He is teaching so that we know. He is reproof or rebuke, so that, you know, correcting or rebuking sin, correcting it, and then training in righteousness so that we can walk in his ways. And notice that the goal of this in verse 17, what is the goal of what God's word is doing?
To be equipped for every good work.
To be equipped for every good work and that the man of God may be competent or complete. There's a sense of growing up through God's word, growing up into the fullness of who we are meant to be in Christ. So I want to hold in front of you the treasure that we have in God's word. You know, I don't know how many Bibles I have and how much dust some of them have collected. I don't need, you know, how many Bibles can I read at once? Right? Two eyes? No, I can't read two books at once. But, you know, how precious this gift and treasure is, and how much we should cherish what God gives us in his word and make use of it on a daily basis. And to wrap up, I wanted to encourage a couple of things. One is, I wanted to encourage us to be doing this as individuals and as families, and to do it well, we need to have a time and a place and a format. There is nothing that ruins anything in life like not having a way of doing it. Right? You try and cook without a place and a time and a format for cooking, it's not going to happen. Same thing with our life in God's word. So I encourage you to think in your own life, and this is where a prescription doesn't work. What works for one may not work for someone else. Right? Jenny's here at 4 a.m. She can do it, but you know, the rest of us aren't, right? You know, it may be in the morning, it may be in the afternoon, it may be at a break you got during work. Find a time and a place where you do your study of God's word. And make it part of your routine, part of your regular habit of life, so that if it doesn't happen, it's kind of like missing a meal. You can get by for a little while, but you're going to start to notice. As a father, this is one of the things I've thought about for my kids with our family devotional life. I'd like it to be something that I hope they never lose the practice of it, but if they do, I hope that it will be very noticeable to them that it's missing. And that they will say, boy, I know it's 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, this is what I would have been doing with my family at home.
Remember what I told you last year about Helen? How old is Helen?
4 and a half.
Okay,
four,
so just she over was 3 and a half.
Yeah.
Remember that night I watched her? And she changed into her PJs?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so let's go to bed. I thought we'd pray in bed. And holding my hand at 3 and a half, she looked up at me and said, no devotions? And I felt so guilty. All I could think of was, how does he do it?
Right.
I don't know what he does.
You weren't equipped. And of
then
course,
Mark said, help me.
Right, right.
From
yeah.
the mouth of babes.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, they will remind us at times.
Yeah, that was,
you know,
like.
Now, it can be used by a 4-year-old as a, like, you know, can I put bedtime off another?
No,
another
it wasn't time. That.
It wasn't that.
It wasn't
right.
that. No, totally.
It can't be like, no, you hit your limit. So having a time, a place, and a format. And here's what I wanted to end with is one possibility for the format. If you haven't had a way of doing this, if you're looking for something to establish this practice in your life or for your family, you've got the back of the bulletin. And I want to just walk through this. This is how I would use this. So if you've got a bulletin, if you don't, there's a basket there. Walk through this briefly. This is not the only way to do it. I don't offer this as you must do your devotions this way. This is one way of doing it, but it's a handy way because all of us have a bulletin on Sunday and can take it home with us. So I simply want to walk through this in terms of how I would use it. So we're going to do a little devotion to end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And again, the format, you could do both readings. You could do one or the other. You could do something in the morning, something in the evening. Here's Philippians chapter 3. And just let it wash over you. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I always include something from the catechism here from the large catechism, which could just be read. It's on the close of the commandments. Here then we have the Ten Commandments, a summary of divine teaching on what we are to do to make our whole life pleasing to God. They are the true fountain from which all good works must spring, the true channel through which all good works must flow. Apart from these Ten Commandments, no deed, no conduct can be good or pleasing to God, no matter how great or precious it may be in the eyes of the world. We shall have our hands full to keep these commandments, practicing gentleness, patience, love toward enemies, chastity, kindness, etc., and all that these virtues involve. A verse for meditation. I'm going to say a phrase, and I want you to repeat it. The grass withers.
The grass withers.
The flower fades.
Our face,
but the word of our God,
will
stand forever.
Will stand forever.
The grass withers.
The
flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever.
But the word of our God will stand forever.
One more time. The grass withers. The flower fades.
The grass withers. The flower fades.
But the word of our God will stand forever.
The word of our God.
You do that every day, and by the end of the week, you'll have it. A stanza from a hymn. Usually, I pick a hymn from the week. We'll sing this stanza together. I know not all of us have opera voices. In fact, our opera voices are in Italy and not here anymore. We may not be particularly comfortable at this, and I will confess there are times my wife has said, maybe we shouldn't sing that. But also, over time, we have grown to enjoy the singing that we do together as a family. It's not going to be the Von Trapp family. No recordings will be made. But to sing God's word and hymns together is a wonderful gift. So we're going to sing the first stanza of The King of Love.
The King of Love, my shepherd.
Singing is that it often sticks with you. You know the commercials from when you were a child, right? You put these words in your ear, again, 7 days a week, and you'll be singing it when you come to church. We're going to close with the daily prayer. You can join me for the Kyrie at the very beginning. I'll follow the suggested prayer for Sunday. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer, and we'll close with the collect for the week. Jenny?
Pastor, I forgot to mention my brother Ted. Called me last night. Pray for his pastor, Shane.
Okay.
They found a lump in his stomach, but they don't know what it is.
Okay, we'll pray for Shane. We start with the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week. And we pray that you may plant, that you would plant deeply in us and in our lives the joy of the resurrection, that we may live not as those who are dead in our trespasses and sins, but that we may live as those who have been made alive in Christ. We pray that you would help us ever more daily to grasp hold of that resurrection and to live as those who press forward to the promise of the resurrection on the last day. We do pray that you would look with mercy on all who are in need, especially on Ted Roberts, Pastor Shane. Be with him and his congregation as they await the results of his tests. and grant that they may turn to you, looking for help and support in this and every time of need. Grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us, that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
It can be that simple. I think that took us 10 minutes with my commentary. So I would love to see fewer bulletins left at church and more bulletins taken home. Again, some of you have patterns and things you've been doing. I'm not saying this is superior. Maybe it brings something, adds something. If you're doing something that works, keep doing it. But if you don't, look at this as a format that you can use for dwelling richly in God's Word in the coming year. And one of the added benefits is that if multiple people of us are doing this, then we are sharing together these same scripture passages. The readings are also, some of you have used the Treasury of Daily Prayer. These readings are the same readings that are in the Treasury of Daily Prayer. So if you use that, you'll be reading the same thing. Also, in taking the bulletin home, you have all the other treasures from Sunday with you to use. So God bless you and be with you, and may his word dwell richly in you and in us.